And welcome to the Jim Baker Show, coming to you from the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Today, our special guest is the founder of Morningstar International Ministries and our dear friend, Rick Joyner. Our co-hosts today are Marcella Woodall, Mondo de la Vega, and I'm Tammy Sue Baker. And now, direct from their home in the Ozarks, here's your hosts, Pastor Jim and Lori Baker.
Hi there, everybody.
Thank you, Tammy Sue, and welcome, everyone, and especially welcome Prophet Rick Joyner, founder and executive director of Morningstar Ministries. Rick and his wife founded Morningstar Ministries in Jackson, Mississippi. Did you know that? In 1985. And Rick is a member of the Morningside USA Board of Directors. He's the author of best-selling books like Final Quest and The Harvest and many more. So we want to welcome to the program our great friend, Rick Joyner. So
welcome.
Good to be with
Rick.
You. It's
How are you doing today, Rick?
I'm just out there with you guys.
Would you give us an update on the Heritage Tower? I haven't asked you about it. Is there anything moving on it yet?
We had a breakthrough with our main lawsuit with the county, with a settlement that gave us freedom to proceed ahead. We've been working on the construction financing. Looks like we've got that in place or pretty close right now. And we're looking forward to hearing hammers and sounds of construction out there. It'll probably be a few months before we actually start the construction, but we're just so excited. Hopefully within a couple of years, maybe 18 months, we'll start seeing lights on in that thing and people. And but we're thrilled. It's time to move forward and get her done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. You know, one of the last things they did when I was in prison, and I was granted parole.
Right.
2 years before they let me out. And they said one of the things was that they didn't think I ever planned to build enough rooms for the people. And yet that tower was, you know, at that time, it was like 90 days before having it completed. But now, you know, it's going to take a little longer to get it refitted and all up to date. But it's so positive for me to see it happening.
Yeah.
To see that the tower is going to be completed, and God's going to use it and fill it with his people for the last days. So I think that's going to be an exciting thing.
Thank God for Rick Joyner and his team and their perseverance. It really speaks volumes of being, you know, when you persevere and you go through this time where you just kept going and you didn't allow the enemy to stop you. And I really admire that.
Yeah. How did the roundtable go this year? I wasn't able to attend.
It was awesome. It was truly one of the best. You know, we're in remarkable times. We had a lot of remarkable things to talk about. We had just about everybody came. Matter of fact, I thought for a while, there's too many. Usually we count on 10% not being able to make it. This year, just about everybody did. Very lively discussion. Felt like the Lord was really there. Some remarkable wisdom came out, I think, and it'll be a while processing it. I mean, it was just, you know, so much comes at you in just that day and a half that we have together. But yeah, it was awesome. It was just truly a great time.
Did they focus on anything that you could mention right now? Overall, did you kind of feel like they were focusing on some things?
Well, there was, I think, a unified belief, and I would say with deep conviction, that our last election was a stolen election, and that it's something we can't just let go. We've lost our country. We've lost our republic if we lose the integrity of the elections. And this was the worst voter fraud in our history. And by far, and anybody looks at the evidence just superficially, sees right away that that was impossible for Trump not to have won that election. And all the numbers bear out, all the forensics afterwards show it was not just stolen by, but Trump really won by a huge margin. Maybe one of the biggest margins ever. How did it get stolen from us like it did? So that's a serious issue. Of course, we talked a lot about what's going on in the kingdom of God. We always have some new people. They had great contributions to us, to the roundtable. And, you know, after this was our 33rd year of hosting that. And, you know, we bonded together. It's like a family reunion every year as well. And some of the best stuff happens at the dinner tables and lunch table and, you know, just the gatherings around the round table itself. But I think this was definitely one of the important ones that we've ever hosted.
Rick, we are seeing so many things happening under this cancel culture movement. Why are they trying to erase the foundations this country was built upon?
Well, they're a threat to evil. You know, they were godly foundations. What we have is evil is moving. It's the Isaiah 60, darkness is covering the earth and deep darkness the people. We're in the Isaiah 5, ultimate depravity, where they're calling good evil and evil good, honoring the dishonorable, dishonoring the honorable. And all of this is, you know, as a major threat is America and the foundations that our government was built upon here. The freedoms that we have are a major threat to evil. And so I, you know, expect that we're going to be under unrelenting attack. And if we don't stand up now, I believe we're still going to have ultimate victory, but every day we fail to stand up, I think that victory is going to be more costly. So, yeah, it's what we see, what the Lord warned about when he spoke at the end of this age, that everything he warned about and what the apostles warned about, it's all coming to pass. So, now we get to live in this. I think it's the greatest opportunity as well because, you know, you don't see the stars until it gets dark. I think the greatest lights that maybe the earth has ever seen are going to appear now. And that's where in Isaiah 60, when it talks about the darkness covering the earth and deep darkness of people, it then says, but his glory will rise upon you and his glory will appear upon his people. So I think we're starting to see that some of the most remarkable ministries, I think, are just starting to get started. And, you know, we're going to see some of the most remarkable moves of God, acts of God of all time, I believe, of not just the church age, but of all time in these times. And we get to be here and experience that. But, you know, God kind of likes it when we're outnumbered. You know, we always, you know, want to have the majority and all the people with us and everything, but he doesn't seem to like to move until it looks impossible for man. And I think we're getting pretty close to that now. So let's get excited. Let's start looking for his glory. I think we've experienced more of the glory of the Lord in the last few months than ever in my entire history with the Lord since I've been in the Lord. So it's just getting better and better that way.
Amen. When Congressman Jerry Nadler, he said, God's will is no concern of this Congress. What are they saying to God? I don't know if you heard that statement or not, but he just made it, I think it was yesterday or so.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's revealing of where they are, but that's not the will of the country. You know, the only poll that has been even close to being accurate over the last few decades is the Rasmussen poll. And, you know, right after Biden took office, the Rasmussen poll, the first poll said that only 23% of Americans think that we're going in the right direction. So, you know, they're just revealing who they are, but I think they're also pushing the whole country into a corner, and there's going to be a massive, huge pushback. We're not going to go back any further. We're not going to retreat any further.
Do you think the church will stand up strong?
Not the whole church, because I don't think what people tend to think of as the whole church is really the church at all. I think the real church is composed of maybe a fraction of what we think of as the church. And that's going to be revealed soon. But you know, if just one person stands up with God, it's a done deal. We're finished. We've won. It doesn't take many. If two or three come into that unity he's talked about, that's enough to do the job. And the Lord likes to do it that way. But yeah, I think most of the body of Christ right now, or what is considered the body of Christ, I question whether it really is or not by the definition we have in Scripture of what true Christians are, what the body of Christ is, what true disciples are. You just read Jesus's definition of what his disciples would be, and most people would think they've never even met one, much less are one. So this is going to change. We're going to see the true separated from the chaff. We're going to see the real wheat separated. We're going to see the wheat and the tares separated. That's one of the first things he spoke about at the end of the age. This is going to happen. There's going to be a real separation. We're about to see that. We're going to see those who really are true disciples of Christ. We're going to see who the true shepherds are. And honestly, my opinion, I think it's a tiny fraction of those who are acting as shepherds in these days. Now, I know that's offensive to many, but it needs to be maybe to wake them up. There's a difference between being a professional and being someone who's called. And I think the whole way that we've, you know, instituted through our two-party system, the way we nominate people to even run for office, eliminates most of the really good and really competent people who should be running our government. I think the way the institutional church tries to prepare its leaders, its pastors and all, it can make for some really good professional people, but that doesn't mean they're called by God. And these are the ones, if you can be a real good professional, but when the time comes and the wolf comes to attack the sheep, they're going to flee. They're hirelings. And, you know, most of us have met doctors who may have been excellent professionals. You hear all the time, best in their profession or whatever. I've met a lot of those who didn't have the calling to be a doctor. And they technically were great professionals. But there's a huge difference in a doctor who is a healer, who has the calling. You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and the living waters come out of the innermost being. You know, when a doctor is called as a healer or nurse or anybody in that field, there is a big difference between them and just the, quote, professionals. And I think we have that difference in the church, too, from the true shepherds to those who may be good professionals, but I don't think they're true shepherds. We're going to learn all that pretty soon.
Yeah. I had something I wanted to ask you about Heritage International. And are you able to have open services now for the summer?
We've been doing it all along. I think we shut down one service at first, and it may have been two. I don't even remember. We didn't shut down for long. And we just jumped right back in and been going strong ever since. We've had overflow conferences where we had to use Main Street and the ballroom and everything else for overflows. And we didn't get any reports of COVID. Now, we've had some COVID come through the ministry and hit some of our staff and leaders and some of our residents here, but it didn't come through the big gatherings, any of the gatherings. But we have, you know, part of the First Amendment right in our Constitution is the freedom to gather, the freedom of assembly. And, you know, one of the primary words for church, ecclesia, means to assemble. means an assembly. So we have to do that as a church. You know, I'm good. Some people want to do it online, you know, whatever. I'm fine as long as they gather. But I think there's something about true church life. You have to have the gathering. And in our gatherings, even our biggest ones, it seems like we had grace from God and total protection. So, we've been doing that all along.
You didn't have the police come for you to try to shut the services down or anything?
No. I think we've had a lot of police in the services. We've got a great sheriff here in York County, a great Christian man, and cares about the Constitution and all. But our governor of our state, we're only a few hundred yards from the North Carolina state line. We're in South Carolina, as you know. North Carolina went nuts. I mean, it was bizarre. You could cross the line, go a few hundred yards from now, go into a business or anything. It was just total difference. In South Carolina, there's just been freedom. There's been freedom to breathe. There's never been in my opinion, a wild, crazy overreaction to the COVID thing. And, you know, we've had some spikes. We've had some people get it, which you do. I don't think we even had what was nearly our normal, you know, fatality rate from flu and all the other things that are normal. They seem to go away totally with COVID because they blamed every death on COVID for a long time. But we've had real freedom. I appreciate our South Carolina government.
I don't know how you feel about it, but you know, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the fourth horse is disease from the animals that will kill a fourth of the earth. And I believe COVID and that kind of thing, that is, it won't stop, it keeps rotating, that, you know, eventually a fourth of the world could be killed through something like that. And this is what the Bible says. So I believe that we're living in a time where God is shaking the world.
That's right.
What I'm studying in the Revelation is the next phase is going to be a lot of earthquakes and volcanoes that we're talking about on our program. This week we've been teaching on, we spent about four shows on the Revelation of now.
Yes.
And I believe we're in the Revelation. I believe we're in the book of Revelation. I believe these things are happening. And you had a vision in 1987, I believe it was, of the country turning hard left. Do you remember that?
Yes, of course. What I saw was the whole country made a real hard turn to the left. And then it realized the huge mistake that was and turned back to the right to never turn back to the left again. Now, when the Clinton administration came along, I thought that was it. I wasn't given a timing. I thought, well, the country's never gone this far left before. Maybe this is it, but it wasn't. Then when Obama came along, I thought, certainly that has to be it. We've never, ever, this is far more left than I thought we would ever see our country go. That wasn't it either. I really believe, now I still don't have a certainty from God, but I believe this has got to be it. And the country was going to learn what a mistake it was to do that, to turn to the left, and we would turn back to the right, never to turn back to the left again. But I had a warning in that experience that then it would be, our biggest danger would be going too far to the right, that we had to guard against that. So, there are other things that make me believe that, this is what that vision was about. This is the turn to the left that the country's going to wake up from, never to turn back that way again.
So there's hope the church is going to wake up.
Yeah, there's hope of America. Many will become the church that weren't. Many who thought they were but weren't will maybe get born again. There's a great harvest coming. There's a great awakening coming. And I've had the promise for decades from the Lord that he who began a good work in us will finish it. He doesn't start things he doesn't finish. And he started our republic, and he's going to finish it. So it will happen, but I think we have to learn some hard lessons. I also had this dream, the worst dream I ever had, but I know it was from the Lord and prophetic, was about this evil horde coming across our southern border. It was the most evil thing. It was so evil that those who were on our southern border from some of the other terrorist organizations like Al-Qaeda, it overwhelmed them, overpowered them. They couldn't handle it. This evil that was coming up out of the depths of hell and was let loose across our southern border. Well, it was so bad. There was a repelling of that evil. I saw a hot war along our southern border, but it caused virtually the whole country to turn against our federal government, too, for allowing that to happen. And it was so resolute that government agents from all over the country were fleeing for their lives to get out of the states. There was such anger towards the federal government for letting this come across our border like they did. And but anyway, it was such an overwhelming realization of how corrupt our federal government had become that I think that was the beginning of us being able to fix what has happened to our federal government. And it is corrupt. In some ways, the kind of corruption and fraud in this last election, it could not have happened in Mexico. It could not have happened in other South American countries. We've been calling for so long banana republics. Well, we've had something worse here than has happened in almost any of them. So I think it's coming back, but I think there's a realization with the citizens who are the ultimate authority. The citizens are the sovereign in a democratic republic. I think what has happened with that, and I think what is unfortunately going to be the most horrible lesson we've ever learned from something that comes across our southern border, it's going to wake the country up and wake us up enough to get it fixed and to get it fixed for good.
Former President Trump worked so hard to build that border until you can get the money raised to build it and all. And now the current president is opening the borders, just going to let people just walk in, filter in. And your word is powerful.
It really is.
And I believe Americans are going to wake up. We have just turned against the prosperity of America. And you said there's a I think you said there's a biblical curse on those who would take the borders away from the nations. Is that right?
Yeah, well, the Lord, you know, he created the nations, and it says he gave them their borders. And there was a curse put upon anyone who would move the ancient boundaries or borders. Could have been translated borders. Yeah, that's something you don't do. God created the borders of nations, the boundaries, because, you know, God's unity is a unity of diversity, not a unity of conformity. And he wants every nation's heritage and their history preserved and their character and culture and things like that. And not just destroyed in this one world government movement that is a unity of conformity where everybody has to be the same, think the same, say the same. Well, that's what's trying to take over our country right now. That's what's behind that Equality Act they're trying to ram through Congress right now.
How can we, you know, the Bible says stand, you know, and I think it's time the church can stand up. How do we reunite this courage and this strength for the church in the days to come?
I think we've got a cowardly leadership, but a very courageous people in the church. You look at the way almost no leader stood up to, you know, defend Phil Robertson when he was attacked for the stand he took about the LGBTQ thing. And but the people did. They rose up in mass immediately. Same way with Chick-fil-A when, you know, LGBT said they're going to shut them down, and the people stood up, but almost no leaders spoke out in defense. So as I tried to tell a number of our presidential candidates in the last, not this past campaign, but the one before when Trump first ran, they kept wanting to reach the leaders of the church. I said, why would you want to do that? Nobody follows them anyway. You know, I think we're really, you know, one of the worst curses is upon the false shepherds. It comes upon the false shepherds. And I think we've got a real false shepherd problem in the church right now. And they're the ones that are the spokesman and the visibility of what the churches are seen as by the world. But I tell you, I think the true nature is found in the body of the people. And I think there's a reservoir of courage and boldness that is going to stand up among the people. And they're going to run over the leaders that don't show courage. You wait very soon. A lot of the ones who are now seemingly controlling things in the body of Christ, they're going to be gone very soon. And I think there will be true shepherds arising to take their place.
Can I say something to that,
yeah, Matt?
Because I just interviewed one of the lead singers of Skillet, a band, a rock band that's been around since the 90s. But this guy has millions of followers, and he's not a pastor. You think the message will come from the pastors of what Rick is talking about, but you're absolutely right, Rick, because John L. Cooper said the same thing. It is the people that need to start speaking out. It is the people that need to rise up because there is no leadership arising. But the people are screaming, looking for a leader in the church to guide them. That's why I believe the PTL network is so important, that we bring voices like Rick Joyner into this program, that you teach the book of Revelation, because people want to know, where do we go? What do we do?
You know, we're talking about the border and the awful onslaught that's coming from the border.
Right.
And I'm wondering, what do you believe will ignite that coming revolution you've talked about? You've told us that there's going to be, and we have to have some. I believe that the next revival is going to be more like a revolution. This is my opinion. But I believe that there's going to be people screaming out for God. I believe it's going to have to be a very urgent cry that God's going to hear, and millions will turn to God. I believe we're going to have a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but it's going to take a revolution, you might say. Mm-hmm. What will ignite the coming revolution?
You know, our friend Bob Jones, the prophetic Bob Jones, not Bob Jones University Bob Jones, but who he talked to me about the coming revolution for years, if not decades. And I heard him say many times, what is going to ignite it is going to be the same thing that ignited our first revolution, and that is when they come for the guns. You know, it's when they tried to seize the armories, the British tried to seize the armories at Lexington and Concord to steal the weapons of the militias, that they fought back and stood up against it. That ignited the whole Revolutionary War. Bob was adamant, it's going to be the same again when they come for our guns. And I remember, you know, occasionally I read, more than occasionally, pretty often I read newspapers from around the world. I remember it's probably been 15 years ago, it may have even been longer, when an article came out in Pravda, the Moscow newspaper, and it was addressed to Americans. And it was, the title was something like, America, do not give up your guns. And they, in this article, they were begging America never to surrender our Second Amendment rights, because they told what happened in the Bolshevik Revolution when there were only 20,000 Bolsheviks. But they were able to take over the whole nation because they persuaded the people to turn in their weapons, persuaded the army to turn in their weapons, and they would give everybody amnesty. Well, after all the weapons had been turned in, they slaughtered them all. And they were, you know, just recounting that history, begging us not to fall into that same trap. And with the environment that's being created now, especially with, I think, what is pouring right now across our southern border, I tell you, we have to be ready to defend our families, our communities, our neighbors, our churches, everything, because it is coming home. This is going to, I don't believe there's going to be a neighborhood exempt from what's coming, is what is pouring across. And we have to do that. You know, when the scripture that says that those who do not provide for their own families are worse than infidels, well, one thing we have to provide is security for our families. And so we're telling our people, you know, you really need to be able to protect your own family. And you need to be able to gather together with others who are going to join together to protect their neighborhoods and all. In that dream, I saw militias popping up like mushrooms all over the country. These weren't racist militias. They weren't evil intent. All they wanted to do was protect their communities. And the Lord showed me in this dream that he had seeded our whole country with a provision to defeat this onslaught. And the seeds that he had sown throughout our country to defeat it were the veterans of the Afghan and Iraqi wars who knew how to fight urban warfare and everything else, but they would be the provision. And, you know, even Jesus said at one point, he said, I didn't come to bring peace, I came to bring a sword. He talks about where that sword is going to divide. And we're in that time right now. It's, you know, you can go on praying for unity and the parties come together and all that, but it's not the time for that. That's not going to happen right now. And the Lord also said, there will be a time to sell your coat and buy a sword. Now, the sword was the weapon of the day, of their time. It's not the weapon of our time, but it was a weapon to defend the faith, to defend everything. So the most powerful weapons we have are not carnal weapons. We understand that. But the war that is unfolding, it's going right down to, I think, every neighborhood and every community, every city. And it will be a civil war. And, you know, it's going to be, I think, increasingly worse with the increasing time it takes for Americans to stand up and push back against this evil that has been taken over our land. So, you know, I think every Christian needs to resolve and get confidence before God. I've got plenty of weapons. I'm a hunter, and I do have a concealed carry. I have a long time out of conscience sake. I just felt like the Lord showed me one time, how would you feel if you're caught in a restaurant or a public place when a mass killer comes in and you could have stopped them and you weren't prepared? Or in your church, churches are now the number one target for attacks. And I said, well, if I am not prepared to stop something like that that happens around me, shame on me. And but we're in that time. You know, there's a time for peace and a time for war. It says in Ecclesiastes, well, we're not headed towards peace right now. We're headed towards conflict and war, and we need to prepare for it. We need to put out the word. People need to be prepared. As you've been putting out the word, we're going to need times of provisions of food where we're not going to be able to go to the grocery store and get it. We need that. We're promoting Shell water filters and any kind of water filter, though, because you're not going to be able to carry around 6 months' supply of water. But filters, you can filter through lakes and things like that and get the water that you need. But we're coming to that kind of time. And most of the nations of the world have been through it. And you see what the army's sweeping through Europe, the devastation there, and Europe rebuilding. Just a few years, they're back better and stronger than ever. America will come back, and our best days are ahead of us. But we've got to stand up to this wickedness that has gone way too far and is very close to dominating our country entirely and stealing every one of our freedoms and rights as American citizens. We cannot let it go on any longer, or we will be under the most terrible tyranny I think there's ever been.
I believe this, and I look around and I see the leadership, and it's bringing poverty. We're gonna have extreme poverty. I've had so many dreams the last few months mm-hmm. about what's coming,
yeah.
and that people, for instance, if you have a cabin out in the woods that is isolated, you may walk in there one day and find people living in there, mm-hmm. because the people are going to be without homes.
Yeah.
It's a devastating time, what's happening in America. And it's time for God's people to understand this and be
that's
prepared.
Right. Yeah.
And the food, and that's why when you say you're going to have your arms, and we have a right to bear arms in America, and that's for a purpose.
Yeah,
that was our founding fathers saw the reason for that, to protect us and all, and to protect us, like, when people get hungry, they're going to be shopping at your house.
That's right.
They're going to be shopping wherever they can. They're going to be using a gun to go in and take whatever they can take. And God's people have to be prepared for the final times.
Mm-hmm.
And even during this time of where it was freezing and these storms we've had, people have had to go into their food stock.
That's
people
right.
that... Our viewers,
absolutely.
You know, and they've said, well, you know, we go and Lori and I were about ready to go into our stock. We were just days away from it.
Yeah.
And we were there for, we had one full week where we didn't, I don't think we saw anybody except the dogs and us. And we started running low on some things, on the vegetables and stuff mm-hmm. that you run out of, mm-hmm. you know, but We almost got into our buckets.
We did, because I know you like them anyway. The food is so good anyway. I knew I was about ready to break in and make you some bean burgers.
Well, when you're starving to death, be sure great to have some spaghetti with marinara sauce.
Yeah.
If people aren't prepared, and Marcella, we're facing, listen to me.
Yeah.
Listen to me.
Important, absolutely.
We're facing a rise in price of everything.
Yes.
And we can't do anything about it except pray. But we're seeing it happen.
Yes.
And they're telling us, even on the generators, which this is the last month we're going to have the generators at the price they are now.
That's right.
Next month, the price goes up. Can you tell me about, like, copper and all the different stuff?
Yes, absolutely.
I noticed you said to me, copper is almost, doubling in price?
Yes, copper right now has gone up 55%. I mean, this right here is going to impact manufacturing across the board. We're also seeing trade duties have gone up 20%. There's been an increase on the exchange rate by 12%. All these things, you know, while we're telling you this, you may say, well, what does that matter? What that means is that the goods, the services that you and I take advantage every single day in our daily lives, whether it's through preparedness, tools, resources, that means that the prices are rising for the suppliers and the manufacturers. They have no choice but to pass those costs on to us, who are the consumers, those of us who are going and buying things for our family. And so right now I'm working very closely on behalf of the ministry, and I'm working with all these suppliers, and they are basically saying, we are no longer going to be able to withhold the increase from the ministry. They don't want to do it, but they have no choice if they want to stay in business. And I'm telling you right now, this is across the board. We're seeing it. We're getting this information firsthand because we work with the suppliers and manufacturers directly. Just wait a few months and you will begin to see this in your neck of the woods all across the board if you haven't already.
I want to know, on our food right now, when will this price be gone that you have right now? Because I'm telling you, I know the problem. And the prices are just going up.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't do anything about it. It's discouraging to me.
Yes,
because we have spent years developing 30-year shelf life food. 30 years. That means that you can store that in your cabin, in your basement, and 30 years later, you can still be eating it.
Yes.
And so it's for the next 30 years. I call it food insurance.
Yes. Yeah.
And in the Bible tells us that we're to see the trouble ahead and do something about it.
Yes. Right.
And we're to take care of
our family.
Family. Otherwise, what are we? We're like
an infidel.
Infidel. Yeah. If we don't do that.
That's right.
So
absolutely.
I want people to order their food. They ought to get food once a month if possible. Or yes. One, if you've been negligent to do it, just get like
six. There's a six offer as well.
Yeah, but you had one bucket for how much money?
Yes, that's a $155 donation to the ministry. That does include the shipping and handling as well. And that's 60 meals in that 8-gallon size bucket right there.
Okay, and so then the next one was be the six.
That's right. That's six of the prepared pantry 60-meal buckets, which is 360 meals for a donation of $845 to the ministry.
But what a blessing that it will be to have hundreds of meals like this.
Yes.
That you can enjoy.
Absolutely.
Our pancakes are
the best.
Is better than going to Absolutely. The pancake house or
yes.
whatever. I don't want to get in a fight with them, but I.
yeah, but I do have to say,
good
Dad.
Pancakes.
You know, this is, you know, when we have been trying, believe me, I have been working day and night trying to negotiate, trying to say we have to get as many people prepared. How do we do this? How do we slow down the time? And we are at the point where March is truly the cutoff. At the very end of March is when all the prices will begin to increase in the survival category, specifically the food, the 30-year shelf life food, the generators. And so I'm working very closely on this, but March will be that cutoff time. After that, once we hit April, prices, we have no choice but to increase prices at that point. So we are saying right now is the time. If you haven't done this already, you know, Dad, you have been preaching this for 20 years to many of you who are sitting there in your homes. And if you have not heard the warning yet and took the warning serious, now is the time. And we do want you to get prepared now while you can afford it. Honestly, I told Mom, I said, the sad part is people are going to wake up one day and they're not even going to be able to afford these items, resources, because the prices are going to increase. And the inflation that's coming is going to be so high. They're going to say, Lord, I wish I would have heard the warning and heeded the warning.
That's right. Wow.
Anything else about
Yes, one last thing, because like I said, we're looking at this month of March. Don't forget the generator offer that we have just put together, where we are offering through Lion Energy, we are offering monthly payments, affordable payments for you to be able to get your hands on the new Lion Safari Emmy generator kit bundle. And in this bundle, you're going to receive one of the Safari Emmy generator units, one of the Lion Safari 100-watt solar panel, and then we're going to also include the Anderson cable. And so that is the generator kit bundle for a donation of $2,800 to the ministry.
That's with the extra power, right?
Yes. Well, the one that is really, I really believe, it's our deluxe bundle.
Yeah,
this is the one that has extra power. It's what it is it's the Lion Safari Generator Deluxe Bundle. In this, you're going to receive the Safari unit, which is the original unit, 2,000-watt unit, plus the expansion battery.
Right.
This expansion battery gives you 3 times more storage capacity within the battery. So that, I mean, if you talk about a power source, that is going to give it to you
And it's sun power.
That's right.
Doesn't use gas or something.
No, it's fumeless
generator. So you don't have to worry
about
fumes killing your
family. That's right, yes.
You can run it in your living room. You can run it in your bedroom.
Absolutely. We're also including in this deluxe bundle the 100-watt solar panel and the Anderson cord and the EMP bag. Mm-hmm. So in the event this protects your generator and anything else that you can fit inside of this bag, it's going to protect your generator from a potential electromagnetic pulse. So that is so important. Have resources that will protect your generator in those type of events. That's for a donation of $4,900 to the ministry. I'm telling you right now, go to jimbakershow.com. You can see these offers.
Right.
You can take advantage of the monthly payment option that's available for this month.
And we only have a few minutes left, and Rick, we have so many more questions for him. But Rick, you pointed out something about water filtration. And I just want to say to everybody, you know, we've had these Seychelles water filtration systems around for years, these bottles, and couldn't imagine life without Seisha. We use it every single day of our life, whether it be in the pictures, which you can go on the website and look at. But we have six of the 28-ounce Seisha Extreme Survival Water Bottles, six of them, for $165 donation. That includes shipping and handling. And this produces up to 100 gallons of filtered water. So that's incredible. Yes. And then you can get replacement filters as years go on, but they're amazing. So everyone should take advantage of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one way to have water. You can take it from a stream. You can take, you can filter a mud puddle.
That's right.
But just don't take the mud into it. Use a tank or something to filter the mud out. But but you can filter any water with that except ocean. For some reason, salt water doesn't work. But anything else, even the water from the back of the toilet and the water in the water heaters that was always brown junk down in the bottom, that will filter it all out and make it so you can live and be healthy. We have talked about storing food and water for many years, and have we run out of time to prepare at this point, Rick? What do you think about preparing?
You know, I started telling our people probably 15 years ago, maybe longer. I remember I began in earnest after we bought this property and started fixing it up that, you know, there was still time. I said back then, if you just buy an extra couple of cans every time you go to the store, put it away, or a bag of rice or something, you'll be good. But as time progressed, I started feeling like we better be buying a whole, you know, maybe a case of canned food and stuff like that. And now I think it's pretty urgent that we get enough food and have food stored to actually provide for months for those that we need to take care of. And I, you know, we've been encouraging our people all along, think of your neighbors too. Maybe you can't take care of the whole neighborhood, but you can help some. And we don't want to just look out for ourselves. This is going to be harvest time, and people are going to be desperate, but they're going to be our brothers and sisters, and we've got to help them. But we're still right now pursuing increasing our stocks of everything and doing it with a whole lot more earnest. But I think there'll be some parts of the country where it doesn't touch as much, doesn't affect, there'll be some where it's just total devastation. And if you don't have the food stored, you're not going to survive. And if you do, you're going to be the target of many others as well who didn't set aside whatever. But there, it's now's the time. We don't have any time to waste in preparing. I do believe that.
I wish we weren't running out of time, but I just have a couple more questions I really want to ask. About our neighbors, and you know, we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. How can we learn to see our neighbors so that we can love them as Jesus does, and especially in troubled times?
Well, you know, one thing I think true discipleship and following Christ, we would have been prepared for this from the time we were new Christians. I mean, getting prepared and being prepared for the time we live in. Unfortunately, I think many people have not been true disciples of Christ. They go to church occasionally and whatever, and may read a book every now and then or something, but they have not been true disciples of Christ, and they won't be prepared. And they're going to be a part of those we're going to need to help too, because they won't be prepared. But for those who have been disciples of Christ, I think they will be. They have grown in love for God, love for one another, wisdom, and knowing how to be prepared for these times. I think many who just have a wake up right now, God can make up the years that the locusts have eaten. With him, a day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as a day. So he can help us make up in one day what it may have took us many years otherwise. You know, he's gracious, and I will certainly be praying for him to do that. But we don't need to wait, and we sure don't need to presume on him. And I know many are saying, well, he'll just take care of me. Well, you know, there are places in Scripture where he did that. He came through and prepared, took care of one widow woman during that entire drought, you know, that had taken over the whole country. One widow woman got taken care of abundantly. Well, you know, are you sure God has spoken that to you? And if he has not spoken very clearly on a level where you have no doubt he said that to you, we need to follow the weight of Scripture, which teaches us to prepare. Like Joseph, like whoever, and we need to obey that. Otherwise, we're just presuming on God. And I'm afraid these times are going to reveal a lot of people, a lot of Christians who've done that. So you never base your doctrine on the exceptions of Scripture. You base it on the weight of Scripture. But you're always open for those exceptions. You know, God, but you want him to say it. You don't want to just presume it.
So good.
God is very clear that if we turn from our wicked ways, he says, I'll hear,
yeah.
I'll forgive your sins, I'll cleanse you.
Amen.
You know, and he will, you know, it'll be all right with God. Some people think it's too late to turn, but I don't think it's too late. Do you think it's too late to turn from our wicked ways to see God heal America?
No, I think if somebody can still fog a mirror, it's not too late. And, you know, we're going to look like we've lost the country. We're going to go through a period of time when we think it was too late. It's just too bad. But listen, nothing is impossible for God, and we can never forget that. But we also, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, it's not just turning from our wicked ways. It's humbling ourselves, praying, seeking his face, and turning from our wicked ways. We need to be doing all of those. I went through after I had COVID in October and first of November. I had 15 days where I had face-to-face encounters with the Lord every day. They only lasted a few minutes each day, but it was like an overload. And all he was telling me about was his coming kingdom and what we've got to preach before the end can come. But when I shared that, you know, a lot of people say, you mean to tell me you met God face to face? Now, why in the world would he tell us to seek his face if we couldn't do it? That doesn't make any sense at all. And we're told in 2 Corinthians 3 that we should be experiencing more glory than Moses did, who had to put a veil over his face because he was meeting face to face with the Lord. We're supposed to be seeing more glory than that and revealing more glory than that. We have a better covenant. So I think a lot of it is really believing that God means what he says. I've been praying for most of my Christian life to have face to face meetings with the Lord, and I've had many. Now, I have to admit, they're always scary. I'm always uncomfortable. But, you know, that's just a part of it. Even the Apostle John, the oldest living apostle, during the book of Revelation, when he sees the Lord, he's known the Lord better than anyone, was so close to the Lord he could lean his head on his breast, but he sees him now in his glory, and he falls on his face like a dead man. Okay, that comes with the territory. Just get ready to be scared. But it's a good scare. It's a good fear. We need the pure and holy fear of the Lord like never before. We need to see him as he is. We need to see his glory to be changed into his image and to be what we're called to be.
He hears you when you cry out to God in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
He'll forgive you of all your sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Mm. He is a God who loves us. He sent his only son to die for us, that we might live. And this is serious times, people. The prophets are warning us, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. I want people to get the lessons from this week that we've been teaching also, the revelation, the complete revelation, and then the new teachings that I've just done this
That's
week.
Right.
And there's four lessons in the 4 hours, I believe it is, in this video. So did you put a yes. package together?
Yeah, here's what
and
I
my
did,
two
Dad.
Books
That's right.
Of now, my
yes.
two books that were written for the very last days, and it's Amen. Prosperity and the Coming Apocalypse. That's the,
yes.
the that warning was about not loving mm-hmm. prosperity money. But that, you know, God's going to always bless his people.
That's right.
But we are to be warned what's coming and the dangers of materialistic Christianity in the end times. Well, this book and the book, The Refuge, are two of my most important last day
yes.
books that I've ever written.
That's right.
And I want you to have both of them. And so you put a whole package together,
Yes, we put the entire,
teaching.
That's right, the entire essential revelation teaching, which you'll receive one of the Revelation Revealed, which is 14 DVDs included in that Revelation teachings right there, over 30 hours of teaching on the book of Revelation, one of the Refuge books, one of the Prosperity and the Coming Apocalypse, and one of the brand new Revelation Generation DVD teachings that we've been doing these several for the past several weeks. It's four teachings, four lessons of where we are right now. And you can receive this entire bundle for a donation of $150 to the ministry, and that includes shipping and handling. So call us. All the offers that we have been discussing, the food, the water, the generators, go to the website jimbakershow.com to see the payment options that are available, or you can call us at 1-888-988-1588 and order your products today.
And if God's been speaking to you about helping us
yes.
to build this Hall of the Prophet
Amen.
Studio, if you give that special $1,000 gift, what do they receive, Marcella, with that?
Yes, you'll receive two of the PTL Voice of the Prophets blankets, which you can see on the screen right now, those beautiful blankets with the logo of the brand new PTL Television Network. And then you'll receive two of the PTL Voice of the Prophets mugs. Of course, we want you to send in your prayer requests. Dad, I love what you've asked, is send in the prayer requests so we'll be able to put them in the foundation of this brand new Hall of the Prophets building. And you also receive your name on a plaque in the entrance and atrium of the building. That's for that $1,000 donation to the ministry, the Hall of the Prophets Groundbreaker Gold Member Club.
1-888-988-1588, or better yet, go to the website jimbakershow.com, because you can see everything and you can
yeah,
order real
yeah.
easy.
All
that
the
way.
Generators,
yes.
all the food, everything yep, is on
right.
there to order.
Yes,
okay?
Absolutely.
And stand with us.
Yes.
And let's make it together till the King calls us home.
Amen.
God loves you. He really does. Bye-bye for today.
Bye-bye. We love you. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you for watching today's program. We need your support now more than ever. Call us today, 1-888-988-1588. That number again is 1-888-988-1588. Or you can make your donation and order of other products online at our website, jimbakershow.com. Thank you for your continued prayers and financial support. It's because of partners like you that we can continue to broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.